Welcome, everybody. It's good to see folks again, familiar faces and new faces. I don't know what you're like, but I'm hopeless at text messaging. My daughter is in Egham, just outside of... Is this on? Outside of London? Is that better? Yes. My daughter's just outside of... London, in a place called Egham, and she's into text messaging big time. Now, I'm hopeless at that. For me, now this shows my age, a telephone is to speak to people. Does that make sense? Well, when she texts, she does this. She doesn't even look at the thing. When I text, I do this. And to help me, I fixed up text messaging on my phone. Now, she absolutely... cracks up every time she gets a message from me. If you know anything about predicted texting, it tries to predict what you're trying to say. Now, I think predicted texting is absolutely rubbish because it never predicts what I want to say to her. But it's okay, you see, because when I text Esther, this message is for her eyes only. It's only going to her, nobody else. It's for her. And she understands it because it's from... me, her dad. This morning, I want to say to you, this is for your ears only. Not for the person sat next to you. Not for the person sat behind you or in front of you. This message is for you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, that Father God, each of us this morning may hear that message from you to us, that personal Father message to us as your children, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, it's going to be helpful to open up at Matthew chapter 5. I find the Beatitudes, that's the Sermon on the Mount, for me at the moment, it's actually quite important. One of the things I've learnt about Jesus' ministry, when you open up the Gospels, so often we jump to either the activities he did or the miracles he did and somehow think that's what we should start off at. So many Christians are caught up in doing stuff for God. So many churches fix up to work out programs and visions for God. Matthew chapter 5 shows us that Jesus didn't start that way. He started with these words. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when at the end of your rope, with less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves. Proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink for the best meal you've ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At that moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get in your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fighting. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that you are uncomfortable. You can be glad when this happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And you know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten this kind of trouble. One of the commentators described this as the best sermon that ever been preached by the greatest preacher that's ever preached. A girl on her way home from church looked puzzled in the car. "Mum," she says, "I don't understand what the preacher said." I hope that's not your common experience here. "What do you mean?" she said. "Well, Mum, the preacher said that God is so vast, so powerful, that he holds the world in one hand." And her mother looks at her and says, "Yes, that's right. But Mum, he also went on to say that God can come and live within inside of us." "Yes, dear, that's right. But Mum, what I don't understand is, wouldn't God just burst out of us if that was true?" And that's what this message on the Beatitudes is all about. God bursting out everywhere from us, from every pore that we have, shining, revealing God's love, God's goodness to a world. Wouldn't it show out? I have to say, in my own personal experience of walking with the Lord Jesus, yes, it should, but only if God bursts out. Does that make sense? It's not about me just telling out or trying to show out. It's about God bursting into the here and now and working and coming out through me. This passage is not just about us giving our best to God, but about God blessing us. The better translation probably is blessed by God, if this parable or this sermon on the night. Blessed by God are the poor in spirit, those who recognize how poor they are without God. Blessed are they who get to that state, that they will inherit the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this morning, is that your state? Do you realize that without God, you have nothing? Blessed by God are those who mourn, those who are so sick and tired of the sin in their life and the sins that they commit, that actually they long for the comfort and the forgiveness of God in their lives again. Blessed are God by God are those who are meek, acknowledge that actually they need everything from God. And there's nothing they can gain from the world around them. Blessed by God are the hungry and thirsty, those who seek more of God and discover that actually God gives more than we could ever imagine back. More we seek of God, more we filled of God. Let me ask you, is that you this morning? Are you blessed by God in that state? You see, Matthew carries on in Matthew 3. He then states to them, actually, if you're blessed by God, you're going to be different. Your lives are going to be different. You're going to be merciful and generous because God has been merciful and generous to you. You're going to be transparently pure. Because when God sees into your heart, he knows every thought, every imagination that you have. Blessed are those who are going to be peaceable. You know, when I receive peace from God, I want to show that to the others around us. Blessed are those who have a resolute hope no matter the situation. Here he says, you know, if we experience something of God's, we're going to be different because of that. We're going to be transformed because of that. By being different, you can make a difference. That's why he then goes on and talks about salt and light. He uses these words, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. You are. Listen to that carefully. Because often we translate this that we can become. We may be able to do. Jesus declares, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Why? Because of all the things that he taught his disciples beforehand, if all that is true, this is what you will be. Because that's what God will do through you. Remember Matthew 28 in verse 19. Jesus gives this commission, doesn't he? Do you remember how it goes? Therefore, you're going to have to speak louder because I'm getting deaf. Therefore, go. A better translation, if I was absolutely honest in the Greek, is as you go, Jesus says to his disciples, as you go amongst those who are not yet Christians, as you go into those dark places into our world, as you walk and live out your Christian life, as you do those things, you will be salt and light wherever you go, whatever you do. You will touch the world just by being there. I've got a friend, he's a Welshman. Anybody Welsh people here? Okay, I'm going to offend two. That's all right. My friend's actually from Port Talbot. Actually, I love Port Talbot. It's a beautiful place at night. If you drive through Port Talbot around the M4 at night, it's absolutely a gorgeous place. You'll notice that the power station and the steelworks, it just glows at night. It's absolutely gorgeous. It shines like a crystal palace. The only thing is, I hate Port Talbot by the day. If anybody you ever driven towards West Wales, you go on that motorway and you see the steelworks and the power station, and also you smell it as you pass by. So often I meet Christians that actually shine out for God when they're together with other Christians. They just seem to be alive with the Lord Jesus. Apart from when you actually meet them midweek in their place of work or walking down the road. And somehow they're a bit like the Port Talbot experience. At one part, they shine and reveal. The other part, they're dead and smelly in the way they go about life. What Jesus says to his disciples, before I want you to go and do anything for me, I want you to understand what it means to depend on me. That's why he sets out, blessed are you, or blessed of God are you if you do all of these things. This is something that God does within us. So that when he goes on to say you are the salt of the earth, what he's actually saying, you'll be rubbed into the everyday world. You'll affect the everyday world. You'll preserve it. You'll purify it. That's why he said you'll be the light of the world. You'll shine light into where there is darkness and where God is not. You know, sometimes I hear Christians, and in the Christian press particularly, I hear people talk about the world is so bad, as if we're talking about a world that Christ did not come to die for. It's so bad, it's so terrible. Actually, a couple of years ago, when I was used to be a pastor of a church, we ran a parenting workshop for parents who were teenagers. We advertised it in the local comp school, and we invited parents who had no Christian faith to come along to help to help discover some aids in them being parents of teenagers. Well, we did a six-week session. It was fascinating. About 30-odd parents came along. And at the end of it, we asked them, is there something that we could help you with? And they said, actually, we'd like some teaching on drugs awareness. So we got the local PSO, is that right? Police support officers to come along. And she brought this array of drugs. I've never seen anything like it in my life. One of the things she did, she brought some cannabis, only a little sachet. And she opened it, and we had to all have a quick sniff of it. We all got rather high, but we all had a sniff of it. The police officer told us that was okay. What was fascinating with this is that the whole room stank of it. This little sachet of cannabis, by the end of that evening, the whole place stank of cannabis. Now, that's okay, apart when you think that the next morning, we had a group coming into church to do, a ladies' group doing Keep Fit. And they walked into this building full of this cannabis smell. What church is this about? I want to use that metaphor a moment. This little bit of cannabis stank the whole place out. It didn't have to do anything, it just had to be. Does that make sense? Follow the metaphor on with me a moment. I wonder, tomorrow morning, those who come into this building and this hall, I wonder what smell we'll leave behind. Listen, it's the metaphor I'm picking up on here. What's the smell you leave behind when you walk out your workplace? What's the smell you leave behind when you walk out the shop with that shopkeeper that's been obnoxious? What's that smell you left behind when that person pulled out in front of you in the car and you wanted to tell them how wrong they were in the most polite ways? What's the smell that you left behind? It was fascinating, I have to say, with this PCSO. She told us about, they took the police dog into local comp school in Nelsy just to show a class about a drug dog working. And on the way in, this dog ran up to a pupil and sat down right in front of the pupil. If you know anything about drugs, dogs, that's what they're trained to do. If they smell drugs, they go up to the person, sit in front of them, and stop. This child was absolutely horrified. I know in Nailsy, I know too well where I live, where the drugs are. Actually, you can talk to any of your teenage children and they can tell you exactly the person to go to. I know where in Nailsy you can go and there's prostitution. Actually, the place where it is, it's a really middle-class area with middle-class people. You would know people around you where these things are going on. Jesus says you are to be the salt of the earth, making a difference where you live. We either, as Christians, can look at the world and say, how bad, how terrible, if only things could be different. But maybe Jesus is asking a different question here this morning and actually singing a different tune than that tune. If he says to us as Christians to be salt of the world, maybe our world is the way it is because we haven't been rubbed into those places of our world. There was a survey done last year amongst churches who have engaged or who have not engaged in their communities. A whole load of stream of theological reasons why churches didn't engage with people around them, where Christians wrongly interpreted scripture where it says, be separated. They came up with all sorts of things. They came up with, well, we don't have to worry about our world, do we? We don't have to worry about all of that stuff. We just need to get people saved and that will be it. Hang on, didn't Scripture say to us, God so loved the world that he died for us? Others said, well, it's okay. We don't have to care about anything at all because God's going to do it anyway. So let's just sit back and let's just wait on God. Hang on. Wasn't it Jesus said, go and as you go, remember that scripture, into the world? I wonder, maybe our world the way it is because that you, and I look at myself too, we've withdrawn ourselves away from those who are not yet Christians. Now, I know all of us, apart from me, by the way, work mainly with non-Christians, those who are not yet Christians. Is that true? Most of my job, by the way, is actually with Christians. It becomes quite boring at times. But I'm asking you about those people that you really have made friends with who are not yet Christians. The people that you would invite into your home or they would invite you into their home, that's where we start to rub God's salt and shine God's light into the world. Be different, Jesus says, and you will make a difference. Where there's no salt and light, I have to say, people will suffer. Where there's no salt and light, there will be growing poverty, injustice, greed, hatred, spiritual ignorance. Where there is no salt and light, when you are not being those people that God called you to be, when I'm not, no wonder our world is the way it is. By the way, it says, if salt loses its saltness, what does that mean? Any chemist amongst us? I can say whatever I like here then and you'll believe it, but it is true. From a chemistry point of view, salt can't lose its saltness. So what is Scripture talking about here? We have to understand something about our Jewish thought. You see, Jews thought about saltiness as being wise. So if you lose your wisdom of living out, making contact with those who are not yet Christians, shining God's love, rubbing God's purity in the world, what the passage is really talking about, you've become foolish. How can you be a wise Christian if you just withdraw from the world and not live within it and show it around you? He then goes on and says, you're the light of the world. The light of the world. You may have heard this story before, but I just quite like it, really. It's a story of a farmer. And his wife was just about to have a child. And the midwife came to the house, and just before his wife gave birth, the lights went off. So the midwife told him, go and get a torch. So as all good farmers, they get one of these huge things and shine it in the right place so the midwife can see. The midwife tells the wife to push and to push, and eventually a child pops out the other end. The farmer is just so delighted. He's overwhelmed and just wants to put the torch down. The midwife turns to him and says, hold on a minute, keep the torch still. And he wonders what's going on. And the next thing, the midwife says, push. And she pushes and pushes. And another baby comes out. And the farmer's just overwhelmed by this. the torch is going all over the place. She says, hold it still. There's another one on its way. And she pushes and she pushes and another one comes out. The farmer just can't cope with this. He turns off the torch and says, they seem to be attracted by the light, he says. Isn't that true? With you and me, with people who become Christians, they seem to be attracted to something of the God light that shines out through you and through me. It's not that we do anything different. It's just who we are. We can't help it. This last week, some of you know my daughter's doing a thing with UCCF, and they've had a week of mission on a university campus, and they put up a marquee. One of the things they do on a regular basis, which I think churches should do as a good Christian outreach, they do a thing called Dial a Donut. Really good. The basis is this: is someone rings up this telephone number. They ask a question about the Christian faith. Two Christians go round, give the person a donut, and give them the answer to their questions about faith. Really good idea. Wouldn't that be good at Midsummer Norton? Have a Dial a Donut. The other thing they do is a bit like you do here with street pastors on a Thursday and Friday evening on a university campus, as they all come out of the student union. Well, half cut, fully cut, they don't know where they are. And students are there giving them shoes or water and helping them back to their accommodation. From all of those things, it's a bit like the Chinese girl that someone talked to me and explained to me the name. Paul, can you remember the name? Was it you who told me the name? My daughter's working with this Chinese girl called... Sorry, John, what was her name?
Ting-Ting.
Ting-Ting. I'm really good at names. This Chinese girl who has no idea about faith, who started to come along, who now on a weekly basis for an hour and a half a week, is going through a Bible study. It's just like when I was speaking to Esther yesterday, a Muslim girl who's come along to listen about the Christian faith, who now is going to do a weekly Bible study. Because the light of God's love has shone out through the Christians in that place. How are you shining? How are you revealing God? One of the highlights for me of being a pastor is to call into a youth group and to watch them work. And when I was at Nailsy, I used to go in and watch them. Amongst them was an 80-year-old lady called Margaret Brock. Margaret couldn't play table tennis. She definitely couldn't play football. She had no idea about playing snooker, partly because her eyesight was virtually gone. But I used to watch Margaret. But she had the knack of just coming alongside the young person in the hallway or sat down on a chair on their own and speaking to them. No dynamic gifts Margaret had, apart from being salt and light into situations. I watched on one occasion when she sat down with one young girl who was sobbing her eyes out, and Margaret bringing peace where there was unpeace and unrest in this young girl's life. I watched Margaret go out to this 6'4" strapping lad and just talk to him, and bringing hope where there was despair in his life. Jesus says, you know, if you're blessed by God, you'll be different. If you're going to be different, you're going to make a difference in those around you. well, Gary, that's good words that you're saying. I want to ask you, who's saying these words to his disciples? Can you remember? Who's saying them? Jesus. That's why I started off with what I did about those text messages this morning. If Jesus spoke these words to his disciples at the beginning of their ministry, I believe he may well be speaking to you this morning at the beginning of this brand new week. By knowing who you are in God, by being different, you will make a difference in the everyday world that you go about. I know some of you may think I'm mad, but after this, you'll definitely think I am totally bonkers. Metaphorically, that's pretend. Is that okay? Put your hand into your pocket. If you haven't got a pocket, you need to pretend you're putting your hand in your pocket. Do you do that? And out of your pocket, I want you to take a mirror. Can you take it out? I want you to have a look at it. Some of you are saying, what a handsome character you are. Your wife or your husband are really privileged to have you. Some of you look at this mirror and you think, time has taken its toll. I want you to look at the mirror. Really look at it. Because what you see in that mirror is what other people see. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 is, I want you to reveal me to the world around you. Have a look. What's the reflection you see in it? Scripture sometimes talks about us seeing the mirror dimly, and maybe the image you're seeing back of Jesus is very dim. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Look at the mirror. Look closely at what God is doing in your life. Look how he's changing your attitudes, your thoughts, your words, some of you, your actions. Look. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the times when I just haven't revealed you to those around me. I'm sorry for when I've withdrawn into myself and into relationships with my Christian friends. I'm sorry that I haven't made the difference that you command me to make. I'm sorry, Lord, for the times when I've spoken and I definitely haven't revealed you. Or my attitudes absolutely stink. Forgive me, Lord. But please, Lord Jesus, this morning come and refresh me again. Come and fill me again. Not for my good, but for your kingdom's sake. Come and transform me into your likeness, that I may be a sweet smell wherever I go, that I may shine you in all that I do. Because, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. So, Father God, be gracious to me this morning and come and enable me to be the person that you called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. my prayer. My prayer for you as an individual, that you may shine wherever you go. My prayer for you as a church, especially this new phase of your life with Matt coming as your pastor, that you may discover what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, that's a fragrance to the world around you that not only attracts people, but transforms the community that you're around. My prayer is that it will be different because God's made a difference to us. Amen.